I didn't know if I should talk on prophecy or talk about something else. So I think I'll talk about something else. No, this has been on my mind ever since we were in Chicago last week. And I know that in talking to some of the people there that are considering baptism, one of the questions they had was, is it important that we are baptized by a group? Well, I don't know what they had in mind really, but a group would be a body of Messiah, wouldn't it? And one of the things that you find in baptism that most of the churches and most of the people are ignorant of is the fact that in baptism we find that the laying on of hands gives each one of us a special gift. And that gift is to be used to edify, build up, strengthen, and add to the body of Messiah. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Timothy. Before I do that, I should start with the book of Acts. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Chapter 8. In chapter 8, we have here the account of Philip being an evangelist, teaching the truth. And you'll notice there in this 8th chapter, beginning there with verse 12, that the people believed what Philip was doing. Now, Philip was one of the deacons that actually went beyond his call as a deacon. He and Stephen both were evangelists of a sort. They preached Yahweh's truth. And as you know, in the 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen lost his head. He was, they say, rocked to sleep. He was stoned to death. But here we have in chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "They that believed Philip," thank you, "and all things concerning the kingdom and the name of Yahshua, they were baptized, both men and women." And then he moved down to verse 14, and we find when the apostles heard that in Samaria that they believed, they sent unto them Peter and John. And the reason they did, because in verse 12, you see, Philip was a deacon. He was one of the six that was called out back here in the beginning of the book of Acts. And he was a deacon, but he was also very adept in Yahweh's word. But he was not one that was ordained in the ministry. He was appointed a deacon. Therefore, he could not baptize and lay hands on at the same together. He could baptize, and he did here in this instance here. So we find in verse 14 that the people in Jerusalem sent the two men, Peter and John, both elders, both ministers, and they came down there and they prayed for them in verse 15 that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only those that were baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. Then in verse 17 it says, "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." And of course Simon wanted that too, and he offered to pay money if he could have that privilege too, and they said, "No, you can't buy the Holy Spirit." Let's go over to the book of Timothy now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to point this out, that this is something that most of the people I find are not really aware of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you'll notice as you move down to verse 14, Paul says to young Timothy, "Don't neglect the gift that is in you." In other words, Timothy has a special gift. What that gift is, he says, it was given by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, the laying on of hands of the elders of the assembly. And that's how the Holy Spirit is given, with the gift, whatever it might be. Now let's move over to the second book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just briefly, I want you to go down to verse 6. Here again we find, Paul says to Timothy, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands." So again, being baptized is not enough. You have to have hands laid on as well. And one of the men there said, I'm glad you went through this with me up here in Chicago. I was considering going out and baptizing other people. But I'm not ordained. I'm just an ordinary man trying to do Yahweh's will. And I see that is not His will, so I won't do it. Maybe some of these things we've overlooked and haven't emphasized enough. And of course, you can that laying on of hands is something that was told to my wife and me when we were baptized back in 1968, October 12th. And those that baptized us included a number of people. There was Joseph Olson and Elder Meyer and two or three others that were there. George Kinney was there. Anyway, we were told that the laying on of hands and so on was to be done by all those that were ordained. They went on to say that they could look back and were told that the ordination that they had, their roots actually came from Europe and from there back into Jerusalem. And the ones that were there, I remember Joseph Olson especially said, now look, we can't prove this. We can't prove that what we're telling you is the truth. However, we were told this, and we're telling it to you just like it was told to us. And so in turn, I felt that we should do the same thing. Let people know that ordination of elders and going back into the Old Testament and so on, that it actually came from the brethren that were there, and they in turn had been baptized by those that went before. And it was Joseph Olson that emphasized how we should protect this and make sure that what we do is in accordance with Yahweh's word. So anyway, the reason I want to mention this is because some people say, well, who ordained you? And so I say, well, there was a group there in Michigan that year, and there were two of us ordained. And I still look back and thank the brethren there that were able to be there and enjoy that, because it was quite a meeting of only a small group of people, about 40, I think. But we learned a lot, and still think of those brethren that were there. But anyway, Joseph Olson explained, he said that most of the time the people that were keeping the Sabbath and calling on Yahweh's name were not the leaders of the society in which they lived. Most of them were probably farmers, maybe self-employed, shoemakers. They lived on the fringes of society. And they were able then to do the things that Yahweh wanted them to do without being involved with the world. And they actually never made the headlines. Nobody ever wrote books about them. Nobody proclaimed that they were the great leader of that century or that year or whatever, because they were simply striving to obey Yahweh and do the things that He wants us to do without living in the limelight. But I want you to turn now over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because here we find, we're going to tie this together in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, you find that this ties in with the book of Romans in chapter 12 as well. But we'll take Corinthians this time. And here Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts, the ones that we find that are given to the brethren following baptism by the laying on of hands. He says, concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know you were Gentiles carried away by those dumb idols, even as you were led. So what Paul is saying, change your life. Forget about the things you used to do. Forget about those dumb idols you worshipped. Don't do that anymore. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the spirit of Elohim calls Yahshua accursed, and that no man can say that Yahshua is the master or sovereign but by the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the diversities of the gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So Paul explains that the same Spirit gives different gifts. We each have a different gift. Sometimes I wonder what mine is. Sometimes I think I ought to just keep studying and hope that sometime we all would come together in better understanding, because it seems sometimes we are questioned by, why do you say this? Why do you believe that? Where do you get this from? Well, as long as it's in the Bible, I think it's legal. I think it's the thing we have to do. Stay with what the Bible says and not get off on a wild tangent somewhere. But notice here, he talks about there are differences of administration, but it's the same master. So we're all not going to have the same gift. And he gets into what these gifts are, and we'll do that in a minute. But he talks about the diversities of the operations. In other words, someone may have the same gift that you do, but he uses it in a different way. And it all depends upon how they use it and with what purpose they have in mind. He says it's the same mighty one that works all in all. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So we're all given a gift. And it's through the workings of the Spirit, of Yahweh's Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Some people have more understanding of the Bible than others, and that's their gift. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Knowledge and wisdom are very much the same, except knowledge is how to apply wisdom to what you know. And with what you know, how it fits in with the scheme of things and the way you live your life. But it's the same Spirit. Either you have wisdom, or you might have knowledge how to apply that wisdom. It's like a college professor, I remember, my brother was telling about it. We were living up in Minnesota at that time, and they had fuel oil in a big tank outside. And for some reason, this college professor couldn't figure out why the oil didn't run from that tank into his furnace. Furnace kept going out. And he didn't realize that that pipe that ran down to the furnace, there was no air inlet on the top to let air in to take place of the fuel that was going down into the pipe. And there was a vacuum in there and it wouldn't move. Yet he was a college professor and didn't know that until they went to open the valve to see how much oil was in the tank. And all of a sudden the furnace started and the oil spurted all over. But knowledge and wisdom, you see, are not the same, but having knowledge of how wisdom applies is one of the gifts. Well, let's move on. We have here in verse 9, faith. A deep faith in Yahweh's word, believing what Yahweh says, following it, and doing what the word tells us to do. That's a special gift some have, above and beyond what others might have. Another is one of healing by the same Spirit. And again, some might not necessarily be a physician or a doctor, but they know a lot about the body and are able to give words of wisdom on healing. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, whatever miracles they would be. They wouldn't have to be something flashy, something that would change water into wine or whatever it might be. But it would be a miracle of Yahweh's that the things that they say and do help others to come to a deeper understanding of the Bible. Another one is prophecy, that is explaining what the Bible says, a little deeper understanding of it. Another one of the gifts is the discerning of spirits. There are both wicked spirits and there are Yahweh's spirits. And Satan the devil, as we know in 2 Corinthians, talks about the battle that we have is more than just physical. It's actually a spiritual battle that we have today, the battle for men's minds. There are those who can discern those spirits better than others. And then we also have tongues, and another, the interpretation of tongues. I don't really think that that in this day and age that this is one of those things that we can look upon, because we know that Scripture says, where there is tongues, they shall cease. And that's in the next chapter. But anyway, to me, having or knowing a special tongue would be if someone went over to, say, maybe Africa, never having studied the language, gets up and talks to the natives there in perfect Swahili, and they understand everything he said. Now that is a gift of tongues. He didn't study the language, he didn't learn it, but what the people heard was the message in their own tongue, their own language. That would be a miracle. That would be a gift of Yahweh. So far I haven't seen that, but I do look for it at the end of the age. I'm sure we're going to have this, because when Satan unleashes his fury upon this earth, especially against Yahweh's saints, you're going to find that Yahweh is going to pour out his spirit in the same way. In fact, he talks about the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. So here we have, in verse 11, he says, all these work, the one and the selfsame spirit, dividing every man to severally as he will. So these are the gifts that the Spirit gives us by Yahweh. And it is the gift that we are to use to edify and build up the assembly. Notice as we continue reading this, he says in verse 12, for the body is one. We're one body, the body of Messiah. And it has many members. And all the members of that one body, there being many members, they are all one body. And so is Messiah. He is one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're one body of believers. And we firmly believe that if someone has been baptized into Yahshua's name by some other group, and if they're satisfied with their baptism, we'll accept it. We don't want to be baptizing people over and over again like some of the churches do. Every time you go to a new group, you have to be baptized all over again. They make that baptism a common thing. They shouldn't do that. Because the scripture says that there is one faith, one baptism, and that's what we believe. So we know here that, in verse 13 he says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that same Spirit. So we all seek for Yahweh's Spirit. And we're all part of that same body because the same Spirit is guiding, directing, and helping each of us wherever we are. He says in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. There are many members in the body, and we're all different. He goes on in verse 15 and says, well, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? You might just be a toenail in the body of Messiah. But that's all right. You're a part of the body. And we don't have any choice in what we want to be. A lot of people want to be the tongue. They want to be the one speaking in tongues all the time. Well, we can't go by that either, because we're each given a gift as it pleases Yahweh and Yahshua. And verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Notice he continues with this idea. What he's doing here is talking about the different parts of the body, trying to tell us that, look, you're not all going to have the same gift. You're all going to have a different kind of gift. The application that you're able to do with your gift and use it is going to be different. It won't be the same as somebody else. But whatever it is, use it for the glory of Yahshua and use it to build up the body. Verse 19, we're all one member. If they're all one member, where would be the body? In other words, wouldn't be anybody there except Yahshua, but he is expecting us to be a part of the body. There are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head unto the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So he says every part of the body is necessary. And it's sometimes the part of the body has less honor. And this is what we're going into here in verse 23. Those members of the body which we think are less honorable upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So the part of the body has excretory organs and so on. And Paul says they're all part of the body. They all have a purpose. They all help the body survive and grow and be stronger. Verse 24, our comely parts have no need. Yahweh has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, which needs it, which has to have more strength and more of the power that is given by Yahweh. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I want you to go back and look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, now Yahweh has set members in every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. What does that really mean? Well, I got a letter from the Philippines, and they don't like somebody over there. They don't like one lady. They don't like this sister. And I wrote back and tell them, look, you have no choice. She's part of the body. The scripture says Yahweh put her there, and you turn the other cheek and do the things that you should do. Because you get down here a little later in verse 28, and he says it again. But anyway, Yahweh doesn't want any schism in the body, any breakup in the body, simply because you don't like somebody, they don't look good to you, or whatever it might be. One of the things we have to learn in the body of Messiah is this. You have to learn to love the unlovely. We had no choice in picking out who we wanted in the body. Yahweh moved the people by His Spirit to join us and come here and be a part of us. We had nothing to do with it, and so we have to treat them with special honor. Now notice in verse 25, he says we have to have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. In other words, if someone has an ailment or a problem or something, we have empathy and sympathy for that person and try to help them out with whatever problem it might be. Someone might even have some ointment or something that would help on a infection, whatever it is. We're thankful for that. Verse 27 or 26, he says, if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If someone in the body of Messiah has some good fortune or something wonderful happens to them, we all rejoice. That's wonderful. I'm glad. They get a place to live, a new house to live in. They have a new car, whatever it is. We rejoice with them. We don't feel, I don't know why yours is better than mine. That shouldn't be our attitude at all. And yet you find there are some people that feel that way. They don't think you ought to be above them in anything. But the scripture says if they're rejoicing in something, join them in rejoicing and thank Yahweh for the good things that befall each of us. Now as we notice here, again he says in verse 27 that we are the body of Messiah and we are the members in particular, meaning each in his part. You each have a part to play. You each have a heavy role in the body of Messiah. Notice in verse 28, he says, Yahweh has set some in the assembly. Now he gets into the leadership. And you find a lot of people, for example, that feel they don't have to have any leadership. That's nothing. We don't need it. We can just do our thing in the corner, stay home in a rocking chair and enjoy it. But he says that he has set some in the assembly. First the apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. I want to back up a little bit here. Some people think that we still might have apostles. Well, I think if you study the word apostle in the book of Acts and so on, you'll find that an apostle actually had to see the risen Savior, had to see him after he had arisen. And of course, all those have died off. So we don't feel there are apostles anymore. Although the word apostle in the sense of what it's meant still applies, because it means one who is sent with a mission. And this actually is what we're all here for, to be sent with a mission to build up and strengthen the body of Messiah. So we do believe there are prophets, and I don't mean prophets necessarily to tell the future, but one to understand and explain the Bible, get into some of the deeper meanings of the word, some of the dark sayings that we have a difficulty in understanding. We always find there's someone knows that, and whenever we have a Bible study, I always like to see the brethren get involved, because you'd be surprised how many things they'll bring up and shows how the depth of their study and what they're doing. And if they are not asleep at the switch, they're busy studying all the time, always looking for more knowledge and more understanding. We also find that the promises, there will be miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So all these things are a part of the body. And if you're going to be off by yourself somewhere, you can't really be enjoying the gift that you're given and enjoy the gift that others are given if you're not partaking and joining in with others who also are seeking the deeper things of the Word. And then in verse 29, Paul goes into the questioning. He says, is everyone an apostle? Is everyone a prophet? All teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do we all have the gifts of healing? Speak with tongues? Do we all interpret? And the answer is a decided no. We're all apart and distinct from one another in the sense that our goals are the same, but how we achieve what we're seeking is not the same. And each one of us has our own gifts, and we're to apply it and use it for whatever we can to build up the body of Messiah. In verse 31, Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gift. We're to earnestly covet the best gift. And then he says, but I'll show you now a more excellent way. And then he goes right into chapter 13, which is it's called charity, but it really is love. And he talks about that if he doesn't have agape love, then he's like a sounding brass and a clanging bell and doesn't make sense to anybody. But the agape love, you see, is really what counts. There's agape love, which is undeserved love and empathy for others. Then there's also filial love, which is brotherly love. Like the town of Philadelphia was named that, brotherly love. And there's also, of course, eros, which is sexual love that a woman and a man would have for each other more than anything else. But he goes on here in chapter 13 and talks about the love, how it suffers long, is kind, and so on and so forth. I want you now to go back to the 12th chapter of Romans, and I just want to point out a few things here. In Romans chapter 12, Paul gets into some of these deeper things and makes a couple points here that we should just take a look at. In verse 4, again, he emphasizes the fact that we all are many members and we don't have the same office. We don't have the same, do the same deeds. We don't practice things the same way. We're different. And we have to learn to tolerate one another. He said we're one body, but we're members or part of a group that belongs to another one. We belong together. Verse 6, he talks about the gifts that are different. Each one has their own gift. And we're given these things to use and strengthen the body. He talks about ministry in verse 7. He talks about teaching is part of the body. He talks about exhorting, encouraging, keeping people's spirits up, encouraging them. And then he says, do it with simplicity. And I want you to notice here in this verse here in verse 8, it talks about ruleth. Actually, that word ruleth really means to guide or preside over, to keep order. That basically is what it means. It doesn't mean to rule like a king or an emperor or anything like that. The ones that are the leaders in the assembly are supposed to be the guides and preside over things and make sure that things run smoothly and that everyone is taken care of and recognized. And then he goes on to talk about showing mercy and cheerfulness and so on. Verse 10, he says to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and so on, preferring one another. So Paul pretty much covers this, but you know that he also gets into it a little more over here in the book of Ephesians. I want you to turn over there to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to close with this, because you might be talking to somebody that thinks that we don't have to join together, we don't have to be together, we can worship at home, we can do the things without having to be a part of the body. But when you study what Paul is saying here, he's encouraging us to put up with things that we ordinarily maybe would not be pleased with. But when we realize that each one of the brethren has as their goal to be a part of the body, to serve Yahweh, to be obedient to Him, and that we are to be a part of a growing body, that we should help the body to become the bride of Messiah. And that's what we're striving for. Revelation 19 and verse 7 says we are the bride of Messiah. But notice here, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, move on down to verse 8. Talking about Yahshua, Paul writes, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What are these gifts? Well, verse 9 and 10 are kind of an inset verse. Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why were these gifts given? What was the idea of having teachers and pastors and so on? Well, verse 12, he explains, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah. And the reason is, in verse 13, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. And with that, I'll close and pray that we'll always be striving for that goal, that we will be into the stature and the fullness of the Messiah in the days ahead. And may Yahweh bless you.